The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And most people don't realize that the best financial resource we have is the Bible.
Next, Carolyn Castleberry reveals a biblical path to financial security that will help us navigate through the uncertain times of today's economy.
And here's a statement you'll never hear on the news, that God's economy is not our economy. And there is no recession in God's economy. He has given us enough. He's given us what we need.
More than enough. Next.
I want to welcome you to Life Today. This is really a very special program, and you're going to hear a number of programs that are really devoted to and dedicated directly to you at what may be a challenging time in your own life. And by the way, if you're finding that, you know what, things are going as well for me as they ever had and ever have, then you just know this. There's a reason that you're where you are. And you have a stability, and it's because of decisions you've made that were wise and meaningful. And this enables you because of that solid footing, and it's often established out of a generous spirit and a generous heart, where you have released the rivers of God's resources to touch others. And we're going to show you how you can do that. But for many of you, and this is really what has led us to a series of programs and to an emphasis, many of you have communicated with us, and many have communicated with us concerning their family and people they're concerned about have challenges financially. And you're looking at the instability and therefore the lack of security that seems certain, it appears uncertain, and you're saying, God, give me some direction. Well, in answer to your heart cry and our prayers for people who say, pray for me, and our serious focus on that, we believe God has given us some direction. I want to offer you a series called More Than Enough, because God says, and He says this very specifically to the Corinthian Christians through Paul, if you learn how to live with the ministry of generosity, the ministry of giving, He says that specifically three different times, a ministry of, if you live releasing the river of God's life and love, God's going to meet your needs so that you have more than enough, not only to meet your needs, but to meet the needs of others. Now, when you face challenging times, we need to understand more than enough. What we found over the months of telecasts, we look back at all the gifted, anointed teachers who came in and gave us divine deposits concerning finances. You're going to be hearing from them. Jimmy Evans talking to couples about how to manage their finances when he had done it so totally wrong, and God showed he and his wife how to get things straight. And now he's teaching tens of thousands of people. Our pastor, Robert Morris, on The Blessed Life, has changed lives into being blessed beyond measure and transformed churches and communities all over America and around the world. Well, we want you to hear on CD those teachings, and you're going to be seeing these guests. Jay Richards, who's just completed a book with me that'll be out soon, and you don't want to miss it. But he also wrote about an understanding of the opportunities that we've been given that have now become an object of scorn, and therefore we're going to lose more opportunity. You need to hear what he has to say. And Carolyn Castleberry, who's a financial expert, Dr. Caroline Leaf talks about how the brain of men and women functions differently. Creflo Dollar, who has spoken to the inner city and the downtrodden to show them how they can come up out of the pit of despair and live with such an overflow of divine direction that they're able to touch other lives. You don't want to miss this. We are encouraging you to get the series More Than Enough, and you're going to be hearing from many of these who teach. Don't fail to get this series. Now, I want you to be blessed by Carolyn Castleberry, who is a financial expert, as Betty and I talked to her and heard some of her insights, and you can get all of them in the series More Than Enough. But let's join Carolyn. And I'd like you to welcome Carolyn Castleberry to Life Today. Would you do that, please?
Thank you. I have to say, Carolyn, it takes a real man a real man to hold a book saying women get answers about your money. It takes a real man to do that.
Is it really? Would,
yeah.
Is it because we already have so many answers?
Oh, absolutely. You have the answers.
Well, we probably create the problems that cause women to have to get answers about the money. And really, I think that you know, you have a wonderful gift to communicate, and you're such a blessed writer, and you bless people with your writing. I want to ask you about the basis of the book, because you actually took a passage of Scripture, mm-hmm. and from that you're giving women answers. But do you think women in particular need answers about money any more than men?
Yeah, actually. So
they
We sat down with the publisher, and really, I'm joking, but men can read this too. They're financial principles for women and men. But we targeted these two books at women because studies show that women need the most help. 13%, according to a Schwab survey, only 13% felt comfortable in managing money. And according to another study, between one-third and two-thirds of all women, as they get into retirement age, will not have the resources they need to carry them through those golden years. And the sad part as well is that many women really check out when it comes to this part of their life. They feel that this isn't their responsibility. Somebody else, you, have to take care of all of this. But studies show women live an average of 7 years longer than men. So what we're seeing, and I start out one of the books with a story on a woman who had absolutely no clue when it came to finances and found that she was left in debt. She was left without an education as far as how to manage money, how to invest money. She turned it around, but it took about 7 years. Mm. And it was 7 years of just going back to the basics. So it's unfortunate. I think we really feel that it's your job. It's your job to handle this, and it's not ours. But I took a different take on the Proverbs 31 woman. And we talked about this at dinner. Do you like the Proverbs 31 woman? I don't know. For a long time, I really didn't. I thought, who is this lady?
I think she does a really good job, because it looks like she's so effective, the man can just kind of sit back and watch her perform.
Right.
She is quite marvelous.
She is marvelous, and I'm sure every man wants to have a Proverbs 31 woman. And I remember reading this is Proverbs chapter 31, reading about this woman going, you know, Lord, what kind of joke is this? I just don't get it. But as I got older, I realized it was about priorities. She was a woman who put God at the top of her priority list. She was a person who put family next in line. She was someone who gave back to her community like you do. She's someone who realized the importance of that. But she was somebody who also, down on the list, had a business. She was an entrepreneur. She made belts. She made linen garments. She sold these. But then she took it a step further, and I call her plan Create, Consider, and Invest. And that's one of the problems. We know how to create. Some of us are now in the process of looking for jobs, and where does the Lord really want me now? But then we stop there. We don't take the resources that God has given us and learn to invest them, which she did. She considered a field. And during that time, you even look at that word, consider. That means she had to do some comparison shopping, which we're good at, right?
That's
looking
right.
At, you know, what's looking best. But then she took the next step to actually invest, to take that piece of property, she was a real estate investor, and create a vineyard where she could have multiple streams of income, if you will, passive income that would continue to take care of her family. Incredibly unique, but also very relevant for today and today's modern women and men, that we have to go over and above in order to be financially secure. And I use that term lightly, because if you get to the end of the Bible, you realize there will be a time when money means nothing for Christians, where we won't be able to buy and sell on the general market, where our security has to be in the Lord. But in the meantime, we are called to be good stewards of what the Lord has given us, to take care of it and to manage it. So I looked at Proverbs 31, and I felt that the Lord really gave me this new insight. And I thought, wow, I wonder how this jives with the rest of the New Testament and that's the Old Testament. Let's take it up against, you know, what Jesus says about money. And most people don't realize that the best financial resource we have is the Bible. 2,000 or more verses have something to do with finances, possessions, money. And do you know it's one of the things that we don't want to talk about? We started talking about this back in 2004. These were published, you know, in 2006, and I've continued with a study guide because suddenly people realize we need to talk about this. You know, we're given virtually no education for three of the most important areas and challenging areas of life, and that's parenting, marriage, and finances. Mm-hmm. Well, we've started to talk about parenting and marriage, but what about finances? So I started looking at the New Testament, sure enough, the parable of the talents. A couple of guys went out and invested their boss's money, talents. One guy got scared. He took that talent, that piece of money, buried it in the sand, and said, you know, hey, I knew you were a tough boss. I knew you were a tough man, so here you go. You have what you gave me. And the Lord said, you know, you wicked and slothful slave, which I think, well, boy, at least he wasn't losing money. That sounds pretty harsh. But the lesson is the Lord wants us to be a good steward and to multiply the resources that he's given us.
Isn't finances one of the major problems that couples have, that they'll divorce over?
And absolutely. You've hit it on the head. And it varies what is number one, but many times it's the number one problem. At some of the studios that I work with, some of the speaking events, the prayer requests are consistently about finances. I'm sure you see that here, about health as well. But always it's one of the most contentious issues that we deal with. So I'm hoping that we'll start talking, we'll start reading, and we'll start getting our houses in order.
You know, I always listen whenever I read. I don't read the Bible or a book to see what it says to everybody else. Now, if I discover something that I think will be meaningful, then I always pass it on because I want to bless people. But when I read or when I listen, I always try to evaluate myself, our situation. And as I was listening to you, I was evaluating. And I found that Betty and I, because I got amused at buying a piece of property, trying to improve it, make it better. And I thought, well, that's what we did together. And it's been a great, wise investment. Okay. And we did it some time ago. Wished even that we might have done it sooner, but we did it together. I didn't come and announce to her here's what we're doing. She didn't announce to me here's what we're doing. We actually prayed about it together.
I love it.
And invested and see something come from it. I couldn't help but think how many people wish they'd have been the Proverbs woman and invested in a piece of property rather than in maybe the stock market.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that's not a bad investment because over the years it's always proved out good and I'm sure it's going to return. But you do need to be prayerful about where you invest. A lot of the high speculation becomes like pouring it down a hole.
Right.
It's like foolishly throwing it out. So you want to ask God for wisdom. And this is what I hear the Proverbs woman doing. She's really asking God for wisdom. Mm-hmm. But she's also working for a return, and she's trying to work from a wise perspective. But you're talking about investing in others. You're talking about making a difference. I think that one of the reasons, and I have observed our donor base, our support base, our friends, people who love us, who like what we do, have remained beautifully stable in unstable times. And I can't help but think it was because somewhere, and by the way, there are many viewers who would not be a part of our support base. You're watching, you happen to be watching today, and I'm glad you are. But I've noticed something about the friends who help us touch other lives, who will help us feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, who, in other words, live beyond their world. They have made an investment that's eternal. They invest in people. They invest in others. They live beyond themselves. They seem to make better decisions and have better judgment because their treasure is in the things of eternal value. It seems that their mind, where your treasure is, not only your heart, but obviously your mind is tracking there. And so there's a stability. We've got a lot of people watching who don't have that stability. So I guess what I want to ask you when you're teaching about money, do you think you're going to make very many wise decisions about money if you haven't made the first right decision? Mm-hmm. And that's to decide to let God be first and to begin to invest in what he invests in, which is people. Begin to help. Does it sound sensible to you that it appears that many of our supporters are on a more secure footing because they began to make some decisions that you're talking about, like the Proverbs 31 woman.
You've hit it.
And others need to do the same thing.
And here's a statement you'll never hear on the news, that God's economy is not our economy. And there is no recession in God's economy. He has given us enough. He's given us what we need. And I would challenge people to give to God first, even in this tough economy. People challenge me on that, but Carolyn, I'm having a hard time. I understand. I've lost my job. I understand. But we can still come to the Lord with an attitude of giving, tithing time. And I will tell you, I write these books not so much from inspiration, but I tell everyone it was desperation, because my husband and I faced a financial crisis just as our first child was being born. And boy, I was ready to be a stay-at-home mom. John was facing a tumultuous time in his industry, and we realized we were looking at an income of zero. Back then, we didn't know what to do. Now we know what to do, which is the lessons that we pass along. And I always say, do this together, prayerfully. We're hitting on a couple of issues here that are so crucial that you've brought up, and that's that you two have invested and prayerfully done so together. During this time, I would challenge your viewers to not blame each other, to not look at the spouse as the enemy, oh boy, what are we going to do, but to band together and to work together prayerfully to find the answers. Because one of the things that I hope people get is hope, that investing can look very differently. It doesn't have to look like the stock market, which has been very scary. It doesn't have to look necessarily like the subprime crisis, some of the other financial reports that you hear that talk about panic. And the word really out there is fear. But the word that I hope to leave your viewers with is faith. And that's where giving comes into play, because Malachi 3:10 talks about giving, and it's the only area in the Bible where the Lord says, test me in this. Test me in this. See if I don't open up the, you know, windows of heaven and just pour out blessing so big you're not going to have room for this. This is the only area, and this was the beginning of our turnaround and my spiritual financial turnaround when I decided to take giving seriously. Not that I had it all together, not that most people in today's economy have it all together, but when we choose to give in the measure that the Lord tells us to, not in a legalistic way because the Lord loves a joyful giver, but when we choose to give, we're saying to the Lord, you know, my security is in you. It's not in the stock market. It's not in my pocketbook. It's not in my dwindling 401k or bank account. My security is in you, and I trust you to be good for your word. I will tell you, like every other story that you've probably heard, that you've probably experienced, when you start to look at finances that way, as what can I do for the Lord? What can this, you know, really accomplish? It changes everything. It completely changes life, and it changes others' lives, as you've seen through helping out the children that you have.
You know, I really do enjoy listening to the people that have blessed us when we talk and bless our viewers. And they have a track record everywhere they go of impacting lives in such a way that it many times totally transforms the people who listen or observe or become a part of what they're doing or what they're sharing, and they receive it. And we really feel like we've been called to not only be a blessing, but to share blessings and to share people who are blessed. And we do it for the purpose of blessing the viewer so that you, in turn, bless others. I mean, this is not inconsistent with the very creative purpose of God, who, when he created Adam and Eve, said, be fruitful and multiply. And that fruitfulness meant more than having children, because he said, you're going to oversee everything I've put under your watch care. You're going to be the stewards of everything I've entrusted to your oversight. And I'm going to give you divine direction. And I'm going to enable you not only to experience the blessings of my divine guidance, my wisdom, my counsel, don't set it aside, receive it. When you receive it and you're blessed, you're going to be a blessing to others. He said, I want you to be a nation of people so blessed, a family of people so blessed that you bless the families and the nations of the world. And the nations whose God is the Lord, who bless the Lord and who are blessed by God, they bless others. Plain and simple. It's just the facts. So no matter how great the challenge is, and I've referenced Psalm 112, you might just go there and read it, because God says He will bless the generous, bless those that are compassionate. Well, as we listen to the prayer requests of people like you and other viewers, sometimes for family members or friends or neighbors, sometimes yourself, say, we feel challenges right now. Well, we put together the series More Than Enough, because God says, when you allow me to direct, I'm not only going to meet your need. Remember, Paul said to the Philippians, my God, the God I know personally, will meet all of your needs, all of them, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to take care of you. But Paul also said, we're blessed to bless, to be generous. I want you to see the insights and direction that God has led us, literally, to share with you from some of our guests who talked about specific areas of concern. And we put all the teachings together in More Than Enough. All of the different teachers on the CDs, and in the CD package it comes is the book that I wrote some time ago, True Prosperity. Prosperity is oftentimes only defined as monetary, material wealth and gain. It's so much more than that. It doesn't limit that. As a matter of fact, it enhances that. But it's more than that. It's living with what money cannot buy or provide. And this will be sent to all of you who just simply say, James, we want to be blessed. We want God's direction. But at the same time, we understand being blessed as being a blessing. And here's what we're asking you to do right now. We're asking you to help provide. And the missionaries have brought this urgent request. And they feel the pressure of economic pressure from various countries. And they say, you know, we need some more help. And we do our best to provide that. But what's happening in areas where there's famine and hardship, the malnutrition is so great that you've got to establish clinics to provide emergency nutritional feeding. That's hands-on, intravenous feeding, powdered milk, sugar and water, all that those children need, the majority of whom die before they ever reach the age of five. The missionaries have told us we need 400,000 of these feedings right now. Sometimes it only takes a matter of days to begin to turn it around, a matter of weeks to turn it around to where a child can then be strong enough to take stronger nutritional products like the porridge or the soup mixes. But we need that emergency feeding. And you know, when we close the year every year and we begin a new year, we trust God for a great outpouring of love and support to support the outreaches of life. Year-end gifts, New Year's gifts. We really need that help, but we need this emergency feeding too. You make a gift, we're going to send you the teaching series, the CDs. If you make a gift of over $100, which will provide 200 of those meals, you may be able to give 1,000 or more. You may be able to make a great gift. We want to send you several books like the one by Rabbi Lapping on the Old Testament teachings on prosperity and how God blesses His people, what the Jewish people learn, and it obviously works. The other books that we have that'll be such a blessing to you. We want to bless you so you experience more than enough. We thank you for helping us save the lives of children in desperate need right now. Thank you for helping us share life. You're going to be blessed in your life. Make that call. Make the gift God puts on your heart, and we'll share the gift of life and love and give you the resources that are going to be an answer to your own prayer needs and somebody you know who may desperately need these resources as much as those children need the nutritional feeding.
In recent weeks, we've seen more and more young children under the age of five coming to our life centers, clinics, and feeding stations. Most are severely malnourished, requiring special care to properly feed them. Mortality rates are quickly on the rise, and it's a need that certainly cannot be ignored.
With your help, we can provide an additional 400,000 emergency nutritional feedings that are specially formulated for children under 5, including powdered milk and intravenous feedings. At a cost of 50 cents per meal, your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help provide 50, 100, or 200 emergency nutritional feedings. With your gift, we'll send you More Than Enough, a new dynamic 8-part audio teaching series that will show you God's plan for your financial peace and provision. Also included is James Robison's insightful book, True Prosperity. With your gift of $100 or more to help provide 200 emergency feedings, you may also request these dynamic books, Thou Shall Prosper by Rabbi Daniel Lappin, Money, Greed, and God by author Jay Richards, and Who Switched Off Your Brain by Dr. Caroline Leaf. Finally, as a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide 2,000 emergency feedings, and you may also request the Back by Popular Demand as the Deer bronze sculpture. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today at lifetoday.org.
This is a one-year-old child, and it weighs just over 6 kilograms. And so they weigh the children here, they measure the children, and then they actually take into the clinic here those that are severely or chronically malnourished, and they actually are able to stabilize them. And that's where the battle for life and death really happens, is in little clinics like this in the middle of the bush, where they're trying to stabilize children's lives, where they're trying to actually prevent them from dying and win that battle over life and death. Once they can stabilize them, then they can actually provide food to the mothers to take home with them. It's a specially formulated therapeutic food to help their child recover and get stronger, feed their body with what they need, not just from a nutrition point of view, but also with vitamins and minerals. And so it's so critical in saving children's lives on a daily basis is truly doing what's right.
You know, I really do hope you'll let us send you the material and consider making a gift and request that beautiful bronze as the deer panteth. Many of our viewers said, could you bring that back? We didn't get it. We'd like to have it. We're asking you for a gift of $1,000 or more. Some of you do so much more than that as a year-end gift or begin the new year gift. And we really thank you for that. We are excited to send you More Than Enough because I can promise you God has more than enough for every one of us, if we just let Him direct our steps. That's the reason we're providing the inspirational insights and instruction from the Word of God, according to the will of God, that'll bless you in your life. And we thank you for helping us literally save the lives of precious children.
Tomorrow, the 10 commandments for making money.
But money is a spiritual measure of what you have done for other human beings.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.